Father, indeed, as we have gathered together this morning for prayer meeting and then for Bible class, we have already been so blessed. And we pray that as we would open thy word and read from it now, that indeed thy blessings would continue. Be with us throughout this day through Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Continuing on in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So 1 Corinthians 14, really when I thought of this chapter, I really thought of the gift of speaking in tongues and how Paul addresses it, because in at least the first half that we're going to go over now, it's over a dozen times that the word tongues is in this chapter. But although it is mentioned over a dozen times, Paul is really driving home that love and edification are the key, the goal, the paramount importance of this. So as we read, we will read verses 1 through, let's say, 19. But read through there, because we're going to see that as that the word tongue is mentioned, whether this is the gift of speaking in tongues as a foreign language, or if it's a spiritual language, in either way, as that word tongues is mentioned, it turns out that the Corinthians, and you'll see this as we read, were really focusing on this gift. They were almost obsessed with this gift. And even though Paul said that he speaks with tongues more than all of them, I would rather speak but five words in a known language than in an unknown tongue. So it's very important as we read through this to see where this gift is put in place and what is better. And that is indeed love and edification. So I'm going to just pick up from the last verse of chapter 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So that word edifying, you're going to also see, even though it's not mentioned a dozen times, edifying, edification, edifying, building up, that idea, that word, okadome, if I pronounce it right, is talking about the building. If it literally translated, it's the building of a house. So he's talking about the building up of the church. And from Pine Valley, we just learned that the church is not this building, but it is the people in the building. So the building up of the people in the building. That was the end of verse 5, that the church may receive edifying or building up. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God, I speak with tongues more than all ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words which with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I'd like to stop there. So the very first part of the very first verse says, follow after charity. That word follow after, pursue. Pursue after charity, pursue after love. And I went and I looked up just some other examples of where this word is used. And just, I found it interesting in Acts 9. If you remember, Paul, who formerly was Saul, and I'll just start, I'm going to read the first four verses of Acts chapter 9, or maybe a paraphrase. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and the synagogues. And I'll stop there and I'll paraphrase. Basically, Saul was so given over to the pursuit of eradicating the Christian faith that he went out of his way to pursue and to destroy the churches. And this chapter 9 is as he is on the road to Damascus, and Christ comes to him, and that same word that says follow after, also known as pursue, Christ says to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That word persecutest is the same word pursue. It's a pursuit to the nth degree, a never-ending pursuit. I'm going after and going after and going after. And in Corinthians, where we're reading now, it's not negative. It's a positive. But it's a very emphatic, I am going after love. And we've been reading about love and what that really means. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a commitment. It's a commitment to the brethren. It's a commitment to the building up, as we're going to read here. So, follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts that ye may prophesy. So, obtain charity. Obtain love at all costs. Pursue love like you pursue maybe a video game. Right? Yeah, I remember. I've been there. When the video games first came out, Pac-Man, you know that. That's one of the first ones, right? Pong was the first one. Pong wasn't very addicting. I don't know, for some people, Pac-Man was. Battle Tanks, that was my weakness, right? For a quarter, I can play all day. Then you got the personal computers and hours and hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months of some people's lives are spent. They are pursuing, I don't know what they're pursuing. I never got that. I escaped. But that's how we are to pursue love. Once again, it's a commitment. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So that one verse, why persecutest thou me? That's the same word of pursuing or following after. And then in Romans 14, 19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things wherewith one may edify another. So it's another following after. It's that same word. And it is a following after not of love in this case, but in Romans 14, 19, it's a following after of the things that make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify or build up one another. We're going to talk about building up and exhorting and comforting a little bit later. But it's that same, that follow after, that pursue. That's really emphatic. It's meaning to drive it home. So, But I don't want to forget tongues. Let me touch on tongues. Whether that gift of speaking in tongues, there's a little bit of disagreement. Some people think, well, it was languages. If you go read back in Acts, everybody spoke in their same language. But as we read through here, there were some verses that made it sound like, well, you're just speaking to God and nobody can understand you. And that infers that it's not just a language that people can understand. But I think the point is that Paul is making here is whatever it was, they were focusing on it. The Corinthians were focusing on it so much that it was a distraction. Not only a distraction, it was driving a wedge in between, and there was trouble. Because he didn't just mention it here, he mentioned it before, it comes up again. There was trouble brewing because of it. And he says, that's not it. You are being, you're putting your obsession, your pursuit, your not following after love, you're following after the speaking in tongues, and that has nothing to do with life. And then he goes on to make some examples. And one that popped into my land, if I say one if by land and two if by sea. Oh, I remember that from history, right? One if by land, two if by sea. And this was the famous ride of Paul Revere. It's actually a backup plan. The plan was that Paul Revere would find out if the British were going to come either by land and sea and start an invasion, and he was going to notify all the counties that were down the road, but if he couldn't get there, okay, that they were going to put a light up in the old North Church, one if by land, one if the British were coming by land, and two if the British were coming by sea. What would happen if he put three up? Three. What does it mean? I don't know what it means. There's no phones. There's no texting. What does three mean? We agreed that one if by land, two if by sea. What does three mean? And Paul, in a nutshell, he talks about the instruments. If the trumpet doesn't make the right sound, you know, back then, we didn't have the communications we had, and the trumpet was an important war instrument, right? One blast means this, two blasts means that. Go to the left, go to the right. Come to here, come to there, go to there. That's what the trumpet was. What about the flute or the harp? Right? You know, there were. When we think of music, we think, you know, beautiful music, harmonies. But when there's a little kid banging on the piano, it's not harmony. And he compares this to speaking in a tongue that's not understandable, that has no meaning, that makes no sense, that conveys no message. So, forgetting all the arguments about whether it's a mystical tongue or a tongue and language, the real issue is in a language that nobody understands, like a barbarian, right? If somebody came speaking, you know, some language down in Africa, maybe Rachel would know, I don't know. But most of us wouldn't, right? And it wouldn't edify, it wouldn't build us up. So don't focus on that. Was Paul's major focus on this. Don't focus on that. Instead, he says prophesy. Now, when we think of the word prophesy, we think of a lot of the foretelling of the future, right? But not only does it mean foretelling, it means forthtelling. There's a little twist in there that it also has the meaning of. And so foretelling is I'm predicting the future. And God has given lots of foretellings in Scripture for us. But there's also the foretelling or the bringing forth what is plain to the people. And so when he says to foretell, prophesy, he's saying to build up the people. So let's talk about that edifying. That building up, okadome, the building of a house. Lord willing, we're going to have a meeting here this afternoon, but Lord willing, they're going to be building up some land over here. We have land. What does it take to build up the land? Well, even when we built this church, this land wasn't anywhere near it. Brother Zorn, how many truckloads of dirt did they bring in? Do you remember? 26,000 cubic yards, right? This takes a plan. So to build up, first there was the ground making it level and making it sound. compacting it, making it right. The building up of a person, the building up of a soul. What do you have to do? You have to establish a level building area. Then, that level, that ground is prepared. The foundation now needs to be prepared. So now you have a good firm place to build on, but the house, the building can still sink. You have to calculate. You have to calculate and build out that foundation. And then you have to build up those walls on top of that foundation. And those walls need to be built true and plumb. And then while the walls are there, you have to put in the electrical and the plumbing and the HVAC that we so love, right? Then insulation and drywall, trim, baseboards, flooring, appliances. There's so much that goes up into the building up of a building. And when we're talking about here, all the way through, it's not talking about the building of a building. It's talking about the building up of a Christian, the building up of a soul into a child of God. And all those same things need to take place. You know, in the building, we need to meet California earthquake requirements. You know, if you're in Florida, you need to meet those hurricane requirements. Because you've seen, you know, what an earthquake can do to a structure, what a hurricane can do to a structure. And so there's extra ties put up in the rafters. There's extra bolts put down into the ground. There's extra foundation. And indeed, when you're building up a Christian, all of those safety precautions need to come in, because sometimes there are earthquakes in our lives. Sometimes there are hurricanes in our lives. And so as that comes up, you know, it says edify in verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, or that building up. And then he goes on to say exhortation. So if edifying is building up, exhorting is maybe stirring up. We need to build up, we need to stir up. That's to encourage, exhort. Focus on that which is good. Do that which is important. Edification, we're going to, exhortation. We're going to talk to each other to encourage that now that we have the building, you know, you can have a house, but what makes it a home, right? Okay, we've built the house. We got the walls, we got the electrical, we got the plumbing, but we got to hang some pictures. We got to make it a home. And so this is the exhorting, the encouraging, and this is what we do for one for another, right? We need this. We need this help, because a lot of times we get discouraged and we need to be built up and exhorted and encouraged. And he goes on in verse 3 to say, and comfort, and comforted. So if edifying is built up and exhorting is stirring up, comforting is cheering up. We need to build up, stir up, cheer up. I'm going to just read a couple of verses. Hebrews 10:25, talking about exhortation. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So just the fact that we come, that we meet together, that we go to Pine Valley, that we come together, this is allows us to talk with one another and to encourage or exhort or stir up one another. If you're not around one another, that doesn't happen, right? You're making some pancake batter and you have the flour over here and the salt a little bit over here, and you have the baking powder and the eggs and the butter and the milk. But if the flour is over there and the eggs are over there and the milk is over there, there's no mixing, right? And the blueberries, you need blueberries to put in there too. But if you put them all together, now you can get a mixing. Now you can get something better than flour, better than salt, better than baking powder. You can get breakfast. But it only comes and happens when you're doing it all together. And so that's, you know, just going back to the Hebrews, this is just one verse of many where it talks about exhorting. stirring up, encouraging one another, right? The sum of the parts is greater. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts, I think is the way it says, right? Thank you. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. So once again, it's giving us this picture of working as a father with his children to exhort, lift up, stir up, to put some ideas in their heads, and to comfort. You know, I not too long ago, one of the grandkids falls over. There's going to be you just wait for the windup, right? But dad swoops in. Oh, honey. Oh, it stops. It stops. There's a comfort there, a cheering up. And if you go back to the analogy of the building, so we have the ground level that's sound, we have the true walls, we have the foundation, we have the electrical, we have the pictures on the wall. Now we, with comfort and cheering up, we got to fill it with family and friends. That's what makes the house the home. And that's what makes this church filling it up, filling this building up with people, with souls that are seeking to love God, seeking, showing the love of God by the love we show one another. That's what John says, right? By the love we show, they will know we are his disciples. As we pursue, follow after, love, charity, as we pursue love, and remember, it's a choice, it's a commitment. K is for commitment, right? No. As we pursue that commitment to our local body, to the larger body, to the body of Christ, let us put into action that building up, that helping each one of us as individuals, individuals helping individuals that make up the church, help us to build it up to have a strong, learned structure based on Scripture, to stir up, to do those hard things that Scripture talks about, to suffer long, to stand up. When we thought about Joseph, and we had Bible class this morning, there was Joseph who, he suffered long. But he knew that God was there for him. And he didn't have the verse, all things work together for good for those who love God. But it wasn't on paper, but it was in his heart. And it was in his hope. And he saw and he lived that. And was it for his benefit? Sure, his life was spared. But really, it was for the saving of a nation. Not just the nation of Egypt, which it did save, but for Israel, which endures. And then let us build up, let us stir up, let us cheer up. Let's be joyful in doing these hard things and bring souls along with you in that joy. Let it be contagious and infectious. Just like depression, you know, you go around Eeyore too long and it's like everything's not so good, right? But you flip that around. I don't know if Tigger helps. I don't know if that's a good explanation. But you know, that joy that we have, let it go forth, let it build up, let it cheer up, so that indeed by the love that we show to one another, they, the world, will know we are his disciples. May the Lord bless his word.